All right, Psalm 100. I want to follow up from the first sermon in the Thanksgiving series we started this morning from Colossians 4:2. Be devoted to prayer. And including staying alert in it and with an attitude of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 is along that theme. And it says it's a psalm of thanksgiving in the title. Shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we delight in the fact that you reign, and to know that you reign, even when it is not that way in the world, when your will is not done on earth as it is in heaven, we still know that you reign. And it's a comfort to us and should guide our days into joy, joyful singing and gladness in our heart. I pray, Lord, you would be glorified by our focus on thanksgiving and praise to you, that we would find that that is what we do, that we would do that as your word commands, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. People are rejoicing in the aftermath of elections. Whenever there's an election, there are people who rejoice and there are people who mourn. Some mourn for 4 years and they never stop mourning if it's a presidential election. But different leaders get in power. And there is a reaction to that, which is either you're glad or you're not glad. You might be mad. You might be sad. You might be feel a sense of doom. But, you know, I always go back to the thoughts I had when I was a bit younger and Jimmy Carter was elected. And I said, oh, gosh, no. And I thought we would have a real end of the world scenario, but we didn't. He was a weak president now in history, but we survived. I felt that way about several presidents in the last decade or so, that we might not survive, and we did. I mean, we may not come out of it better, but we held on. So some are glad, some are not, because the power in the world changes. Who's in charge changes. And oftentimes people are upset because although they are glad who won the election, after the election, the person that they voted for changes course somehow. That happens a whole lot. Sometimes it works out just the way people hope and things take place that you're glad take place. Never everything, but a lot of things happen that you're glad happened. There's a lot of hindrances in our system. There's checks and balances, but there's also hindrances in the design of the nation to keep things from improving too much. There's human nature. People in power don't want to lose power. There's all sorts of nasty things that take place in such situations of governing. And so some things that if we would let a person who was elected do what they wanted to do, it'd be better. But then there's a bunch of people who are blocking it. I guess it's always been that way. Christians would likely rejoice in another president than we have now. for a number of reasons. There's abortion and a bunch of other things. Leaders vary. Some are very skillful and some are not. Some are very capable to lead. Some are not. Now, the Bible tells us that leaders don't lead in the ultimate absolute sense, that is done by God. So God's leadership, God's authority is over all that. All the promises made that are not kept, all the hindrances, all of those things we note are done, and we still hold to the fact that the Lord is in charge. Recent polls show that about 60% or more believe the nation is headed in the wrong direction. I thought of that when I saw that. It's like 60, 65%, I believe, the last one. And I'm feeling how sad it must be for those people who think it's going in the right direction. It's pretty obvious from a biblical standpoint, things are not the way they're supposed to be. But since God is in control, there's still thanksgiving to be given for all who are in authority. And 1 Timothy 2:1 says we should pray for leaders and give thanks for them, because even in many cases, most cases, the worst of them do something good. They fill some kind of good position in the will of God. Authorities are put in place by God for good. We're told that in Romans 13. It is God's intention to order society by putting people in command, in authority, humans. Angels probably be better to do with. Certainly a lot of other humans would be better than what we get. But God puts this in for good. And so they do good things. Even if it's just hold some sort of order. Some do a very, very few good things, and some do a whole lot of good things. But the office itself is good. And so what happens is we benefit from that. And we also thank God for limiting the damage sometimes that wicked kings do, that wicked rulers do, that they can't inflict upon us all the bad they want to. We thank God for that when that happens. But the Lord God has all power and authority. Whenever we speak of leaders, we're not speaking of ultimate leaders. God's authority can never be successfully challenged. You can't put up a vote on God and depose him from his throne. His laws can never be changed. I understand they're being changed, but they can't be changed. You can't make God's laws go away by making new laws counter to them in this world. God's laws remain in place. You can't change them. You can't remove them. His power can't be weakened. He can't be tested. He can't be assailed. He's not in danger of a coup. World rulers, even the most powerful ones, Julius Caesar in history comes to mind, they can get deposed. He was assassinated, betrayed. This happens throughout human history. The powerful are unseated because their power was not enough to stop that. God is not that way. His power is absolute. And he sees everything that's coming before it gets there, and he knows all things. His will can never be made subservient to another. Sometimes we have people who are in power, and then after the end of their reign, they're not in power. It's an entirely different situation. Well, that can never happen to God. His power is continual. He never loses it. He never is removed from it. No one ever takes over. And the duration of his kingdom never ends. It can't end. He rules and reigns forever. So God's rule is the primary rule that every person is supposed to be tending to. Lacking that, we're astray. Putting hope in rulers, we're astray. Putting hope in a nation, like Israel would hope in Egypt, is astray. It's always Christians, God's people, are knowledgeable of the rule of God. We can't survive, our spirits can't survive without knowing that. Now, if all those things I just said about God's power and authority, how it endures and how his laws never change, if that was said about the kingdoms of this world, we'd be in the most pitiable condition. There have been many rulers who are very powerful, Caesar-like rulers, emperors, who have been a thorn in the side of believers. Believers have held on thinking, when is the Lord going to bring better days for us? But with the Lord, all things that I've just said about his stability and the security of his kingdom is the most absolute form of good. And that's the backdrop, really, to this psalm, that God's reign is good. People think that we would rule better than God. You know, God is way out of current thinking. He's not woke. He's not in with the new morality. He's completely separate from all of this stuff that's going on. And people are glad of that, who are unbelievers. Unbelievers are threatened by the reign of God. They don't want to hear about it. We have Thanksgiving coming up. We sure can't thank Jesus. We have Christmas coming up. We surely can't celebrate the birth of Jesus. Easter comes along a few more months after that. We can't celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So the world, as Psalm 2 says, seeks to usurp the throne of God, to dismiss it. But it can't be done. Because the rule of God is good. The best we are ever going to be is when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Proverbs has several mentions of bad rulers. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. A leader who is a great oppressor lacks understanding, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. Proverbs 20, verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses evil with his eyes. Proverbs 20:28, loyalty and truth preserve the king, and he upholds his throne by righteousness. You see, a king that is a righteous king is in agreement with the absolute rule of God, and he upholds his throne that way. He is like God in the lasting sense of an endurance of righteousness. Proverbs 29:4, the king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it.